We continue our learning Le'ilu Nishmas, Davi Ben Menachem, Rosh, and Mecham Yaakov, and Pirchos Aliyah. We are in Yevamos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Hei. Misha Yeshlo Ach Mikol Makom. Person who has a brother, any kind of brother, and the Gemara says this means even a mamzer. Zokek Es Eishes Achiv Le'yibim. He binds the wife, the widow of his brother, to the halacha of Yibim on a Doraisa level. So that means you have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is a legitimate child. Shimon is a mamzer. Let's say their father committed adultery with a married woman, let's say, and Shimon was born. So Reuven and Shimon are brothers, but Shimon is a mamzer. So now Reuven passes away. Reuven was married to Rachel, so Shimon on a d'oraisa level has a halacha of Yibum. Now, we already learned in the previous Mishnah that that's true mid'oraisa, but mid'rabbanan, the Chachamim said that a mamzer does not perform Yibum, and therefore a mamzer has to perform chalitza instead. Our Mishnah, though, is teaching us that on a d'oraisa level, there really is this zika, and that's why something has to be done. Of course, we do chalitza and not ibum. How do I know that a mamzer is considered someone who can bind the eishes achiv liibum, that on a d'oraisa level ibum should apply? That's derived from the fact that a mamzer who is a child will exempt the father, the whole din of Yibum. We know that if you have two brothers living yachdav at the same time, and one of them passes away, if Reuven would pass away, if Reuven had children, there's no din of Yibum at all. And that would be true even if Reuven had a mamzer as a child. So if a mamzer is considered a child for the purposes of exemption of Yibum, then mamzer can be considered a brother for the purposes of performance of Yibum on a d'oraisa level. And then the Mishnah says, v'achiv l'chol davar. And in fact, they're considered brothers. Imams are considered brothers to the legitimate brother for all purposes. And that means that the regular rules of, let's say, of Yerusha apply, inherit property together if they're Kohanim. The, let's say, Reuven, who's the legitimate brother, can become Tamei in order to attend the funeral of the mamzer, of his brother, as one of the relatives. But the exception is where there's a child born from a shifcha kananis, a non-Jewish slave maidservant, and a nachris, and a non-Jewish woman. That means that the son born of a Jewish father and a non-Jewish slave woman, or a non-Jewish, is not considered legally the brother to any of the father's other sons. Because they're not Jewish. So therefore, they don't inherit each other's property, nor can a Kohen come in contact with the body of the brother that was born from a slave woman, from a shifcha, or a nachris, or someone who's not Jewish. And that's because we usually follow the lineage of the mother. That's derived from Sukkim. It says, Shivcha, Bar Tanur says, Shivcha v'nachris valda basra azil. The child goes after this pegam, this defect, the shivcha and the nachris. How do I know that? Because when it comes to a shivcha, it says, Ha'isha viladeha tihi el adoneha. This is in Parshas Mishpatim, where we say that an Eved Ivri, is a Jewish Eved, is allowed to marry a shivcha kananis. The master can give it a shivcha kananis. And they have, so he has the shivcha kananis, and they have children together. What happens after the 6 years are up, and the Eved Ivri goes free? So does the woman and the children go along with the Eved Ivri? The answer is no. Ha'isha v'iladeha tihi al adoneha. V'hu yetzei b'gapo, the pasuk says. He goes out, but they stay with the master. Why? Because they remain as slaves. Now, why do the children remain as slaves? Aren't they the children of this Eved Ivri who's a Jewish man? The answer is because they are the children also of Shivcha Kananis, of a non-Jewish slave woman, and therefore they take the fact that they don't leave with the Eved Ivri is a proof that they must follow her lineage, and they stay as Shvachos, they stay as non-Jews. And it also says in Devarim Perek Zayin, Ki Yasir Es Bincha Me'acharai. This is the source, not of a slave woman, the source of a non-Jewish woman, that the child that she has, even if the father of this child, even if her husband is Jewish, if she's not Jewish, the child will be not Jewish. How do I know that? So the psukim in Sefer Devarim are concerned about Avodah Zarah, Parshas Vayeschanan, and we're very, very afraid that if we follow if we assimilate and we intermarry, so this is what's going to happen. It says, ki yasir, if you give your daughter to a non-Jewish man, ki yasir es bincha me'acharai. What does that mean? Yasir, he, the father, will cause this child, your grandchild now, to go astray, to leave Hashem. But it says Yasir es bincha. Now, who are we talking about? Who's Yasir? Yasir is the non-Jewish father the non-Jewish father who is married to a Jewish woman. And there it says es bincha. So what it's saying is like this: if you give your daughter over to a non-Jewish man and they intermarry, so guess what? That father is going to turn your child, your grandchild, astray. But what does it call it? It calls it bincha. Why is it calling it bincha? Because in that setup, in that scenario, where it's a Jewish mother and a non-Jewish father, it's still called bincha. Bincha, why? Because bincha, because it's a Jewish mother. Why doesn't it say ki tasir, as if to say, oh, I know who's going to, in the opposite scenario, where you have, let's say, a non-Jewish woman and a Jewish man, why doesn't it say ki tasir, she is going to lead your child astray, because it wouldn't be called bincha in that scenario, if the mother is not Jewish. So says the Bar Tanur, based on the Gemara, shma mina hachi kamar. Bitcha lo sitein livno, don't give your daughter to the son of that Avodah Zarah person, of that non-Jew, ki yasir bal bitcha es bincha, because you know what's going to happen? That husband is going to lead this child astray. Shetelei lo bitcha me'acharai. That's only in that situation, because a bein haba min hanachris, Koroi bincha, ein habein min hanachris, koroi bincha elabina. Because a son from a nachris, from a non-Jewish woman, is not called bincha anymore. It's called bina. And therefore, that's why it's only yasir, where the father is not Jewish, and therefore it's bincha, because the mother is Jewish. So that takes care of the shifcha and hanachris, and those are exceptions to the rule. There is no din of yibum or chalitza or inheritance, etc., when it comes to someone who comes from a shifcha or a nachris. Then the Mishnah says, Misha yesh lo bein mikol makom. If someone has a son, and it refers also mikol makom to a mamzer, poter eishes aviv min ayibum. We said this already. This releases the father's wife from yibum. If the deceased, or Reuven's case, he's the one who passed away. If his only child was a mamzer, so the halach is that his widow is released from yibum achalitza, because the bottom line is to have a child. It's a mamzer. If mamzer is considered a child, and then the Mishnah says, then v'chayav al makaso val kilolaso. What this means is that even the mamzer's son is obligated, is culpable, and gets the full punishment of, which is misa, for hitting his father and causing him to bleed, or kilolaso, which is cursing the parent. Also misa's based in. So here too, there's obviously this relationship. And then the Mishnah says, uvenohu l'chol davar, and he's his son for all purposes. Well, the mamzer is considered the father's son in every respect. He inherits the property. The mamzer, in the case of a kohen, the father is permitted to come in contact with his mamzer's son's body. So that's okay. Chutz mimi sheyesh lo min hashivcha min hanachris. And that would be except where there's a child from a shivcha and an achris, as we explained. We said that this son wouldn't be legally related to his father, and therefore wouldn't be liable for the for hitting or cursing the father, etc., because he would not, if it's from a shivcha nachris, the child is not Jewish, and has no relations, no familial relationship with his father. One important point that from the previous line it said that at the beginning of the Mishnah said zokek es eishes achiv. We spoke about the fact that there is this zika, there is this relationship of yibum between the two, and then it said poter eishes aviv min hayibum, which meant that if a person has a son, so he said even if that son is a mamzer, that exempts the father from yibum. Just having a child is enough. How do I know that? That's derived from the pasuk that says Uvein Ein Lo. That's what it says in Devarim, in Parshas Kisei. What does Ein Lo mean? Ein Lo, Ein means without, means there's absolutely no children at all. That's the emphasis. That's the emphasis. And that would be true. The Gemara even says Ein Lo. Look at the word Ein as like word Ein with an Ein, to investigate. So that Ein teaches us as well. If, let's say, the deceased brother had a surviving daughter or grandchild or great-grandchild, any direct descendant, Chalitzen Yibam, do not apply. So Uvein Ein Lo, so that makes no difference. If the mamzer or anyone descending, we look into it, and that would be sufficient to exempt the din of Yibim, because it's only when they die childless and not they have any sort of child or any type of descendant. Perek Bey's Mishnah Vav. Mishte Kidesh Achas Mishte Achayos. You have a case where someone performed Kiddushin with one of two sisters. Problem is, he doesn't remember which one he was Mekadesh. So there's no Nisuin yet. They didn't live together. But we know, maybe he would know who it is, but he's always Mekadesh. He knew he was Mekadesh, one of two sisters. He doesn't know which one is Mekadesh. Now, by being Mekadesh, one of two sisters, so what happens now? See, the other sister, the one who he was not Mekadesh, becomes usher to him because she is his wife's sister. That's an erva, achos ishto. And since he doesn't know which of the two is his wife, he doesn't know which is his wife, which is his wife's sister, so now he really can't have chuppah and bia and live and nisuin with any one of them. So what should we do? And the Mishnah says, no saying get lo's over get lo, so he has to give a get to both of them. Now, there are two possible ways for this to happen, where you're Mekadesh one of two sisters, you don't know which one you're Mekadesh, are the following. Number one is that, let's say the woman's identity was known. You knew that, but after some time, you forgot who it was, which sister. Maybe they were twins, so you forgot after some time. The other possibility is that her identity was never clear during the time of Kiddushin. Let's say you had a shaliach that you sent and was a messenger to be Mekadesh, one of two sisters, and the chassan said, listen, here's a ring, and one of the two sisters should be Mekadeshes to me, and didn't specify which one. Now, that scenario is not so simple, because the Gemara, Maseches Kiddushin Daf Nun Aleph, deals with that very issue. That's known as Kiddushin She'ein Misurin Labia. Kiddushin which can never lead to Bia. Since that case, they can never have Bia together from the very beginning, because the whole Erisin, the whole Kiddushin was unclear. So obviously, it can never live together. So there is an opinion that Kiddushin She'ein Misurin Labia, if there's a Kiddushin because of its suffix, could never lead to Bia. Lo have a Kiddushin. That automatically makes the Kiddushin ineffective. So that's one opinion. There is another opinion, however, that holds no Kiddushin She'ein Misurin Labia, have a Kiddushin. Happens to be, that's one of the six cases that where we follow the opinion of Abaye of Ya'al Kigam. Those six cases, the Kuf is Kiddushin She'ein Misurin Labia. So we follow Abaye, who says that indeed, this is considered a Kiddushin, and therefore our Mishnah is following that assumption that the marriage is valid in that case. And therefore, the Mishnah says, therefore, we need a get in both of the cases. Whether the identity of the Kala was known to begin with or not, we need a get. So therefore, what does he do? He gives a get to each of these sisters. And he can't live with either of them. Okay, so that's pretty simple. What about Mace? Now the husband dies. And once again, we don't know. He didn't give a get to either one. So we still have this suffix. And now he passes away. Velo ach echad. And there's one surviving brother. So here, let's say you have Reuven, who was a Mekadesh, one of two sisters, doesn't know which one it was, and then he dies. So now Shimon's here, and he has these two possible women. Only one of them was really his, is there a potential Yibum, Chalitza, Halacha, or regarding, but he doesn't know which one was really the wife. So what should he do? He's only one brother. Says the Mishnah, Choleitz L'shtehen. This surviving brother, Shimon, has to perform Chalitza with each of these women. Since you don't know, the same way, by the way, he would have to give a get to both of them. The same way the husband gives a get to both of them, here Chalitza, the brother, has to Chalitza both of them. So since it's not known which of the sisters was really the wife, which is the wife and now widowed, and which was not at all. He doesn't know which is the Yavama, so he can't marry either of them, and therefore he has to perform Chalitza. Now, why not perform Yibum with one of the sisters? That you can't. Why? Because it's possible that the one he chooses to be Miyabim is not his brother's widow, but it's the sister. And that sister is Achos Zekukaso. That is Asur Midirabanan. As we mentioned, she is the Zekuka. She's the one bound to him for the sister of the one who's bound to him for Yibum. So that she's Asur to you. That's almost like that's an Ashes Ish Achos Ishto Midirabanan. What about perform Chalitza with one sister and then perform Yibum with the other sister? No, since it's possible that the one which he performed chalitza with is the real widow, so therefore the chalitza is a completely valid chalitza. Who is the sister now? The sister who he wants to do yibum with, marry now, is Asur Midirabanan to him. That's called Achos Chalutzaso. We treat Achos Chalutzaso as Achos Gerushaso. The woman with whom he performed Chalitza, that's the sister of that woman, because that's similar to the Isur Doraisa of marrying the sister of your Gerusha, which is not allowed. So the only possibility is to perform Chalitza with both. But let's say Halu Shnayim. Let's say there are two brothers. So Reuven dies and Shimon and Levi are here. And there are these two sisters who potentially one of them was married to Reuven. Then we allow the following. Echad choletz ve'echad miyabim. Let one brother, first you have one brother, let's say Shimon, perform chalitza. And then the other brother, if he wants, can perform yibum on the other one. How so? Well, they can't both start by, let's say, having one perform Yibum. The order has to be Chalitza first. Why? Because let's say Shimon perform Yibum. So then that's a problem, because maybe she is not, the one who performed Yibum is not his brother's widow, but it's the sister. So then he's now living with Achos Zekukaso, which is Asur Drabanan. But once the one brother performs Chalitza, then the other brother can marry the sister who didn't have Chalitza. Why? Because no matter who she was, she's now permitted to the other brother. If she's really the widow of Reuven, she's a Yavama and can marry Levi after, let's say, Shimon did Chalitza to the other sister. Let's say, no, it's the sister who is really the widow. Then it's okay, because the chalitza was knocked off and there's no problem of Achos Zekukaso. So therefore, the sister who didn't perform chalitza is not forbidden as the sister of Zekuka, because chalitza was already knocked her out and she's not Zekuka anymore. Kadmu, the constant of the Mishnah says, let's say they went ahead and married them. Both brothers didn't listen, didn't ask the rabbis what to do. If they asked the rabbis what to do when they didn't listen, then we can this halacha wouldn't apply. But here they didn't ask, so they thought it was okay. Each one married one of the sisters. Let's say Shimon and Levi married these two sisters, one of them, which was the potential Yavama. Ein motzin miyadam. Then we don't take them away, they can live with them. The first brother performed Yibum, may have been violation of marrying Achos Zekukaso, marrying his Yavama sister. Nonetheless, he can stay married to her. Why? Because if the woman with whom he performed Yibum was really the Yavama, then he was allowed to marry her to begin with. And let's say she's not the Yavama. It doesn't matter. He's no longer violating any Isur Durabanan, because the other brother ended the Yibum by performing Yibum himself. So therefore, as the Mishnah concludes, Kadmu v'Kansu, Ein Motzin Miyadam, they can stay married.